back with him on Friday, and it really blessed me. It's only short, and I'd love to read it to you. You'll be swinging from the rafters when you listen to this. News from Egypt. Be assured, some good things can come out of Egypt. A Muslim man in Egypt killed his wife and then buried her with their infant baby and an 8-year-old daughter. The girls were buried alive. He then reported to the police that an uncle killed the kids. 15 days later, another family member died, and they went to bury him. When they did so, they found the two little girls under the sand, alive. The country is outraged over the incident, and the man will be executed. The 8-year-old girl was asked how she had survived. She said, "A man wearing shiny white clothes with bleeding wounds in his hands came every day to feed us. He woke up my mum so she could nurse my sister." She was interviewed on Egyptian national TV by a veiled Muslim woman news anchor. She said on public TV, "This was none other than Jesus, because nobody else does things like this." Muslims believed Jesus would do this, but the wounds mean that he really was crucified. And it's clear also that he's alive.
Hallelujah.
But it's also clear that the child couldn't make up a story like this, and there's no way these children could have survived without a true miracle. Muslim leaders are going to have a hard time to figure out what to do with this, and the popularity of the Passion Movement doesn't help. With Egypt at the centre of the media and education in the Middle East, you can be sure this story will spread. So spread it. The devil can do his worst, and he cannot outwit God. He cannot stop God. Just be encouraged today. There's no weapon that the devil has ever forged that can work against God. Praise his wonderful name. Father, we thank you for the deliverance of these two children. We thank you, Father, that what seemed a catastrophe, you turned into a miracle. You turned it into the greatest testimony the Muslims could ever have heard. And Lord, I know what you've done there, you'll do again and again and again. You will confound them, Father, with your mighty acts, as you did through Moses. Father, you'll do it again and again and again. And we give you praise, Father. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Praise your wonderful name, Father. And Father, we say, let your word be quickened to us today. Let it take root in our spirits. Let it come alive and become lifestyle to us from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Praise God. I've titled my message, Touching Heaven, Changing Earth. That's what God wants us to do. He's done it. He wants us to put it into operation. He's changed earth because he touched heaven. He brought heaven down to earth. And I want you to know that everything that we ever need is up there in the heavenly realm. We have everything that we need in the spiritual realm, in the heavenly realm. It's done. It's finished. It's complete. We just need to know that it belongs to us, right? We can have it, and we can have it now. Amen. I want to start reading Isaiah 52, but I don't want you to turn to your translation. I want you to sit back, close your eyes, and listen to the message, because it's a different translation, and you'll pick up things that you didn't even know were there. We're starting with the last few verses of Isaiah 52, and we're going right through chapter 53. It starts with, "It was our pains that he carried. Just watch my servant blossom, exalted, tall. This is your God. head and shoulders above the crowd. But he didn't begin that way. At first, everyone was appalled. He didn't even look human. A ruined face, disfigured past recognition. Nations all over the world will be in awe, taken aback. Kings shocked into silence when they see him. For what was unheard of, they'll see with their own eyes. What was unthinkable, they'll have right before them. Who believes what we have heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over. A man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains that he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, but God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sin that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who have wandered off and got lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've ever done wrong, on him. On him. He was beaten. He was tortured. But he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin, so that he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it, and being glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones. Praise God. And there's a little bit more on the next page. As he himself carries the burden of their sins, therefore I'll reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honours, because he looked death in the face and he didn't flinch, because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his own shoulders the sin of many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep. Praise God, I was a black sheep and he took up my cause. He made me righteous. He took everything. He took my sin. He took my sickness. He took my punishment. He didn't flinch. He faced death and he despised it. He despised its shame. He kept his eye on the goal. Verse 53, and chapter 53 and verse 5 said, he took the punishment that made us whole. Now, can you tell me this? If he took the punishment that made him whole, why do we suffer? Why should I suffer when he took the punishment, when by his bruises I'm healed? Why do I need to suffer? If he's done a good job, and he has done a good job, a perfect job, it's finished. What am I messing about in sickness and disease for? Why am I even entertaining it? I've got to ask myself the question. What's the problem? Jesus is the answer, is he not? Let's look at Isaiah 54. And we're reading from verse 11 through to verse 17. Afflicted city, storm battered, unpitied. I'm about to rebuild you with stones of turquoise. Lay your foundations with sapphires. Construct your towers with rubies, your gates with jewels, and all your walls with precious stones. Hear this, parents. All your children will have God for their teacher. Amen. What a mentor for your children. You'll be built solid, grounded in righteousness, far from any trouble, nothing to fear, far from terror. It won't even come close. If anyone attacks you, don't for a moment suppose that I sent them. And if any should attack, nothing will come of it. Praise God. I create the blacksmith who fires up his forge and makes a weapon designed to kill. I also create the destroyer. But listen to this. No weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Whoa! No weapon that can hurt you has ever been forged. Just bear that in mind. Any accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar. This is what God's servants can expect. I'll see to it that everything works out for the best. Praise God. We can't lose, can we? What does Helen keep saying? We can't lose for winning. We can't lose for winning, can we, Christine? We're more than conquerors. I was listening to a tape of GC's this last week, and I've heard it before, and there was just a few things that hit me. And one of the things he says on this tape is that God's word goes out at 40 orbs, that we operate at 7 orbs. Ooh. So, if you want a miracle, don't just use your words, use God's word. Just use it as it's written. Hit the devil full belt with this word, and you'll hit him at 40 orbs. Amen. And that is the most powerful creative force in all the world. You have the greatest weapon at your fingertips, and it's called the Word of God. It is written. How did Jesus overcome the devil in the temptation in the wilderness? It is written. It is written. It is written. We don't, you know, the devil throws us off because he gets us to look at what's not happening. Instead of focusing on the word and saying, I'm not looking at what I see. All I'm looking at is the word of God. And you, devil, it is written, it is written, it is written. Amen? Genesis chapter 1. By his words, and I always, whenever I say this, I always think of Jonathan, our Jonathan. The power of our words, eh, Jonathan? So powerful. God's word in your mouth is as powerful as it is in God's mouth. Right? And I'm not going to read much on here, but this is how the message puts it. God spoke, light, and light appeared. God spoke, sky in the middle of the waters, separate water from water, God made sky. He separated the water under the sky from the water above the sky. God spoke, earth, green up, grow all varieties of seed-bearing plants and every sort of fruit-bearing tree. And there it was. It's just so simple, isn't it? God said it, and there it was. That's the power of the Word of God. And we read, don't we, in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. Jesus is the Word. And I like it from the Amplify. It's a bit more graphic. In the beginning, before time began, was the Word. And it's got in brackets, Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him. And without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. Whoa! It's never put it out. Or has absorbed it, has not appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. The darkness cannot overcome the light. We know that. You put a really tiny candle in a dark room, and the darkness is gone immediately. Darkness cannot stay. Last time I spoke, I mentioned about day in Genesis 1. The word for day is motion, energy, light. That's God. He's light, He's motion, He's energy. The word for darkness is deterior, which is where we get our word deteriorate from. And when you're in darkness, when you're looking at the symptoms, when you're looking at the situation, when you're looking at the darkness, then it's your situation is deteriorating. So we may as well decide here and now we're going to look at the light, because the light's going to bring motion and energy and deliverance to our situation. If we keep looking at the darkness, we're going to go on a downward spiral, and we're going to go round and round and round and round till we're flat out. And I don't want to do that. God is truth. The Word of God says, it's John 10:10, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A lot of people say set you free. It is not. It's make you free. Make implies it works on your will. It works on your emotions. You can be set free, but that's not what God's saying here. He says the truth will make you free. It's a process. You can have an instant miracle. We've seen many, and praise God for every one of them. But here God is saying, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. As you begin to appropriate that, as you begin to speak it into being, and you begin to conquer this, the fanatic in the attic, he gets in the way every time. He's an absolute nuisance. Yeah? We've heard before, we need to listen to the fella in the cellar. He's your spirit. Alright, he's the one that counts. He's the one that's bringing life and energy and victory into your situation. God cannot lie. Now, have we established that? God cannot lie. Let's just read it. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. I'm reading from the message here again. God is not man, one given to lies. And not a son of man, changing his mind. Does he speak and not do what he says? Does he promise and not come through? No, he doesn't. If God says it, if he's given you a promise, that's settled it. It's yours. The only person that can cheat you out of it is the devil, if you'll listen to him. Your circumstances can cheat you out of it if you focus on them. If you focus on what's happening, you'll go down and down. You'll deteriorate and your situation will deteriorate. If you look at what God has promised, you will get out light and energy and victory. If God says we're healed, then what are we? Is that too simple? It really isn't, is it? On Sunday night, they'd been working last Saturday, really hard. And on Sunday night, I went to bed, and my wrists, I didn't know where to put them. I just didn't know what to do with them. The pain in them, and I thought, I'm not having this. I am not having these symptoms. If I give in to the devil, he will cripple me. He'll come in and he'll kick every door open and he'll bring every foul sickness and disease that he wants to. If I accept it, he'll do it. And I'm not accepting it. And he's not doing it. And I made a decision. He was not. And I laid there and I said, God, your word says I'm healed. So, I'm healed. Devil, you can't contest that word. You can't resist it. You can't stand against it. You can't do a thing about it. If I believe it and I receive it, it's mine. And I went through that conversation, I can't tell you how many times, and I fell asleep. I woke up next morning and I didn't have a twinge in my wrist. And I worked yesterday like crazy. And I still don't have a twinge in my wrist. Why? Because God says it, and that settles it. And I'm going to fight my way through in victory. Well, on Wednesday, he thought he'd trip me up. And Joan has a sense of humour like mine. Now you see me, now you don't. I went to Helen to pray meeting and I put my foot on the curb as I got out of the car. I don't know what happened, but next thing, I was on a heap in the middle of the road. And I heard Joan say, oh, there's Grace. Oh, where is she? She's gone. Oh, no, she's not. Oh, she's fallen down. And we all had a laugh, didn't we? But do you know, I could not walk when I got home. I went to work, and when I got home at night, well, I left work early. I thought, I can't walk anymore. And I got home and I got in the bath and I sat on the settee and I said to Andrew, you'll have to make tea. That must be the first time in our married life. Well, you might not have done too many. It's desperate measures when you do them. So,
I'll speak the truth.
But you've done it a few times. I can maybe count them on one hand in 30 odd years. But he made tea, and when I got up for tea, I sort of hobbled to the table, and then when I'd eaten my tea and I came back and I sat down, it was absolutely delicious. He makes the best salad, salmon and baked potato you could possibly wish to have. It was delicious. It was mouth watering. Yes, it was. It was very good. I don't know if it's because I hadn't made it, but it really was good. It's lovely, isn't it, when somebody does that for you? So we thoroughly enjoyed it, didn't we? Well, I did. And after about after we had our meal, I sat down, and the devil's in your mind, isn't he? And he's saying, 6 week job this. Might have broken it. Swollen like crazy, black as ink. And I thought, if I listen to this, I'm going nowhere, only downhill. I thought, we'll do what we did on Sunday night. So for an hour I laid there and I meditated the word of God. And after an hour, I didn't have any pain in my foot. Prior to that, I was moving it all over the place. I couldn't get it comfortable. It's like... But I didn't have any pain in my foot. And I thought, God, that's the power of your word. You know, if we'll learn to focus the word and not the situation, and that's hard, and I'm not criticising anybody here, and I'm not trying to sort of tell you to, you know, your grandma to suck eggs and all this sort of stuff. What I'm saying, I'm trying to encourage you. I know when the pain's screaming at you, it's jolly hard to get your mind off it and to get your focus off it. But believe you me, the benefits, the rewards are worth it. If we're going to live bringing heaven onto earth, we've got to live above that pain barrier. We've got to push through that pain barrier. We've got to push through, and we've got to see God, and we've got to work on God's word and bring that, the heavenly, into the earth. Amen. And it will come. It won't take long. Just focus it. Speak it. Don't listen. Don't entertain the devil's thoughts. Just push him out with the word of God. It is written. It is written. I don't want to know any more than that. It is written. Everything, everybody and everything that has a name has to submit to God. Because in Philippians 2, verses 9 to 11, and God's prepared the way today. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him, and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee must bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That, I think, that is the most fantastic word in the Bible. God has highly exalted him, giving him a name that is above every name, and every knee has to bow to the name of Jesus. Anything that is withstanding you, I'll tell you now, it has to bow to the name of Jesus. If you will stand your ground, it will bow. It may decide it's going to withstand you, but it cannot win. If you will not quit, God will never give up on it. He will promise. He will accomplish what he has promised. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Nothing more to it, devil. And he was a mighty man of signs, wonders and miracles. But that is where it was for him. If God says it, that settles it. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Psalm 119 and verse, was it 89? Yes, 89. Forever, O Lord, your word stands firm as the heavens. It is settled in heaven. God's word is settled forever in heaven. Nothing will ever change that. God says, get in the heavenlies and bring that word down. Bring it into your body. Bring it into your situation. Bring the word into the earth and let it bring forth fruit. Praise God. You know, our flesh gets a kick out of sympathy. I've been there, done it. Even this week for a while, it was like... Then eventually, God begins to speak to you, doesn't he? And say, you're not going to get anything that way, girl. You either look at me or you look at that, and you'll reap the rewards of both, whichever you choose. So the choice is ours, what we're going to focus on. If we'll stand for the truth, we'll get the truth. The facts, we cannot deny them, but they're not the truth. We can't focus on the facts. We can't bemoan our lot. We've got to focus on the truth, because the truth will make us free. Praise God. Let's look at Colossians 1. Mm. 11 to 14, we're reading. I'm reading in the Amplified. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. It's the inheritance of the saints in the light. It's not the inheritance of the saints in the darkness. You've got to walk in the light. The Father has delivered us and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of sins. God has delivered me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. So when the devil attacks, and he will attack, none of us are exempt from attack. But let me tell you this, when he does, the end result is left with us, is determined by how we react and what we do. And if we decide, I do not belong in the kingdom of darkness. The darkness has no authority in my life. The darkness does not rule in my life. God rules in my life. I'm in the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there is no sickness. There is no disease. He renews my youth like the eagles. I need to get onto that one. He satisfies my mouth with good things, that my youth is renewed like the eagles. He gives me everything we've sung today. He's restored what Adam lost. He's given us everything. You know, we readily and easily accept that Jesus forgave us our sins. Why do we not as easily and readily accept that we're the healed? What's different between the two? There just is no difference, is there? I'm as healed as I am forgiven. And I have no problem in receiving the fact that I'm righteous. Well, why do I have a problem believing that I'm healed? Now, it came really strongly to me, and as you read Isaiah 53, especially from the Message, he was beaten to pulp. He was totally unrecognizable, so that I could be healed. How can I treat it so lightly? How can I not appropriate it into my life? He was in pain and he was in agony. Agony that we can't enter into. That we can't ever imagine. Just so that I could be free. He didn't want me walking around sick. He didn't want me walking around defeated. He wants me living in victory. He wants me living in the abundance that he's provided for me. It's his desire. It's his sheer pleasure. And in a sense, and here again, I'm not criticising, it's just something that comes to me. If I don't appropriate the word of God, if I'm too idle, if I can't take the time to focus the word of God until it hits my spirit and begins to make something happen, it's like I'm treating what Jesus did with scorn. It's like him throwing his pearls before swine. So he did that. So what? So what? All that pain and all that agony, and I can't take time just to appropriate it into my life. I don't want to be unkind or picky. I don't want to be accusing here, but I just want to encourage us. You know, he went to the ultimate. We'll never have to go that far. He went to the ultimate. All we've got to do is grasp a hold of it and say, I will do it. And I'll just speak it. I'll focus on it. I'll meditate it until it hits my spirit. And when it's hit my spirit, then it's done. It's finished. The devil's lost. But the devil wins and makes mileage because he gets us too busy. I could have gone to work on Thursday. I felt okay. But no, I thought, I've not had a day off in 10 years. I'm going to go, I'm going to stay at home, and I'm going to focus that word, and I'm going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And guess what? I got stronger and stronger and stronger. People would have stayed at home to take medicine, so I took my medicine. And you know, modern medicine is good. Sometimes it relieves symptoms, sometimes it does actually cure things. But sometimes, and I think many times, it has side effects. And the side effects are sometimes more dangerous than the symptoms. And from my experience, not my personal experience, but my experience of seeing medication over the past few years, I've got to say, I don't want it. I believe that God is challenging us to focus the word, to take his medicine and to make that first in our lives. And I'm not criticising anybody that's on medicine, and there may be times when I'll have to go through some medication, but I'm telling you, I am starting now, because the older you get, the more you see the devil trying to restrict you and cramp your lifestyle, and I don't want it. God says he renews my youth, innit? And if he says I can have it, I can have it. And if he says I'm healed, I'm healed. And it all depends on me, whether if I settle for less, I'll get less. If I go for gold, I'll get gold. And it might not happen overnight, and I might not be a conqueror every day. But if I keep focused on the word, I will be a conqueror. There's nothing so sure. I will walk in the heavenlies, but I'll not be so heavenly minded I'll be no earthly good. I'll be bringing heaven into the earth, and God will be getting the glory. So I really want to encourage us today to make a quality decision. You know, wherever we're at currently, that's irrelevant. What we're going to do from now on? Are we going to take time to focus the word? You might need to do it every day. You might need to keep it in your focus once an hour. Even when yesterday, even when I was scrubbing floors and walls, I was saying to myself, the word of God, it is written, I'm healed, God says I'm healed. I'm healed, I can do this, because God says I can do it. And all the time, it's what's driving you, motivating you. And all the time, it's creating healing and health and strength into your body. It's renewing your youth. Oh, we've got so much. Let's not treat it lightly. It cost Jesus everything. It cost him his life. He's our example. You know, he didn't look at the cross and its pain. He looked beyond the cross. He looked to his goal. And you know, he's our example. Let's just look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. The Amplified. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring its shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, if we'll despise the shame and ignore the pain, then we'll be seated at the right hand of God like Jesus is, and we'll have the heavenly victory brought down into the earth. Let's go for it. I encourage you to come with me. And when we fall, and when we're lacking, and when we're slagging, just come and pick me up and say, it is written, it is written, it is written. Let's encourage one another to go for it. Amen.